What's up, everyone? My name is Doug P, and welcome to the Daily Grind. It's about 7:40 p.m. Sun is bright. I'm walking outside. You can probably hear lawnmowers because in Edmonton, spring is finally here. It's really exciting. We have winter for a long time in Edmonton. The sun doesn't come out until usually mid-May, sometimes early May, end of April. I know snow in May is definitely a thing that happens here. And I'm walking over across to West Edmonton Mall to go watch Deadpool after a really, really busy day. It was really fun and exciting. I woke up early after finishing my work week to have a conversation with a friend of mine that I've recently met, and we are going to be collaborating on a podcast. It's something that I'm very excited about that, you know, I'm just going to come back when I'm not right next to this mowing. All right. So as I was saying, I have a friend and we're going to be podcasting and we're doing the workflow to get this going, and it's going to be on Anchor as well, using some of the really cool capabilities of Anchor, and it's something that's going to be really fun. So then I spent some of the day grinding, playing Magic and Hearthstone and Clash Royale, just the games I enjoy. And I played some Arena, which was awesome. I went for a walk in the sun, called some friends that on a day off I love to spend some time actually talking to and reconnecting with and connecting with. I worked on some collaborations and I had a creative session where I wrote my next video that is going to be a State of the Union updating what's happening in my life and my sites, because when I made Doug PMTG, I kind of had a plan for it. And the way my life has changed and the news of moving to Calgary and my job shutting down made it just not feasible for me to produce the YouTube content the way I wanted to, but that's all temporary, and Anchor provides a way where I can fit into my life the honest dialogue of where I'm at. The videos are all going to come out. I have the time allotted ahead of me, assuming no more curveballs get thrown at me, because I feel like I've finally caught all the plates that were spinning and set firm plans for my life. And some of the plates dropped, but then I was able to catch some of them and start spinning others, because much like the metaphor for spinning plates I'm using, people need to learn the skills to be able to both spin one plate, both balance 10 plates, both spin another plate while balancing the spinning of all the plates that are currently spinning. And it's a process that takes time. It's a process that isn't mastered at once, and is a process that when someone who's learning how to spin plates hasn't ever had another human throw a ball for them to catch in their hand at the same time, there's going to be some stumbling along the way. But I really believe in the future of Magic content, not just from me, but from many people. And I am excited to produce a lot of content. I've started writing, trying to find my voice, which is definitely a much different approach. It's more of a poetic writing or fiction / non-fiction writing. It's actually led me to a desire to start my own D&D group when I'm in Calgary. That actually I'm thinking about having a D&D group where one room in the house or my room or wherever, I also set up a quadrant that I'll put a camera on as well, and it's puzzles like an escape room. And during each campaign, I'll go and kind of solve a bit of an escape room type feel, maybe 3 to 5 questions that I will be there as the DM to also help solve. I actually got inspired by watching Loading Running Run today, and Loading Ready Run was playing a campaign of RPG, and the DM put a puzzle down and they started to have to solve the math puzzle, and it got me thinking escape rooms are something that many of my Magic friends love, and D&D is an amazing, amazing game that many of my coworkers and friends love, and my coworkers who don't even play Magic love escape rooms and love D&D, and so why not just combine escape rooms, D&D and Magic the Gathering all incorporated into my Tuesday nights or my Monday nights as a place for people who have 9-to-5s to come over in the evening and, you know, build community and playtest once a week and have fun, but also potentially have some days that it's the D&D campaign. I'm thinking about bi-weekly, and I'm thinking maybe the D&D campaign runs from 7 till 10, let's say, but magic testing happens for 2 hours before and 2 hours after for anyone who can fit that into their particular schedules. So, some exciting things I'm thinking about, I'm dreaming about, I'm actualizing. I'm very excited after today. I spent a lot of time and energy just creating some concepts and moving forward on some concepts, and I also am planning on making a few collaboration videos unrelated to magic, because I have a lot of talented friends here in Edmonton that I just want to collaborate with, musicians and videographers and people who I think if I pitch some interesting visions of videos I have addressing different things like mental health, or one of them is a cover of Intro by Logic on the album Under Pressure. That song, I just have an idea of recording myself singing it or my friend singing it, and I have a whole video I wrote that I've asked a friend if he'll direct for me and help me kind of as a best boy on set filming it. A lot of exciting things. So I just got to the movie theater, and when I next record, I will have seen Deadpool, so we can talk about it or we cannot, no spoilers. But anyways, I'm excited for popcorn. I haven't had supper yet, but a large bag of butter popcorn sounds good to me. So let's go Deadpool 2. Come on. Box office superstar. I'm excited. I love the X-Men. I was always a Nightcrawler fan. He's my number one superhero, Nightcrawler. Like, hands down. So, X-Men for life. What's up? Okay, so I just got in my house. It's 12:14 a.m., midnight, and my brain is swirling. What a great movie. Deadpool was so funny. It was comedic gold. It was brilliant. I laughed so hard. And I'm about to go on a rant about comedy and my opinions, and it's going to be full of situations from the movie Deadpool 2. So this is an official spoiler warning. If you have not seen Deadpool, please, for my sake, for your sake, turn this podcast off. Do not keep listening. Just go watch the movie yourself. So many things that are funny in that movie are funny because they're shocks or because of the context related to the comment. And comments out of context lose a lot of significance. Quotes from that movie put on the internet out of context of the situation and the character development can be taken as hugely inappropriate because they make jokes and comments about situations such as race, such as religion, such as rape. And they don't make these jokes in an intent to make light of those situations. They just include those themes, I believe, for the sake of art and comedy. I always tell my friends who are a little more on the fence and the reserved side of comedy of my belief about comedy. And again, this is something that I certainly am open to being told I'm wrong on and learning other perspectives on. And if you have a perspective on this that's different than mine and you want to share it, you can actually download the Anchor app and you can call into my station and leave your own thoughts, which I can then feature on a future episode. And I would love to hear your opinions if you agree or if you disagree. But I believe that comedy has a certain creative license over certain things when the jokes are created, like when they're crafted well by an artist who is not just someone making inappropriate comments, but who is working on their craft and writing jokes and trying to get people to think. So here's my short 45 second or less rant. Back in medieval times, kings were allowed to kill people, just outright butcher them if they made fun of the king. You were not allowed to make fun of the king. There was an important character that existed in these times called the jester. The jester was supposed to be the fool, the lowest of the low, but the jester also made fun of the king. They could say anything. They could make fun of the king's homosexual behaviors if the king was doing that, their adulterous ways, their gluttony, their slobbishness. They would make jokes about super inappropriate things to create a light laughter, humor about the king, and the king put up with it because it would help to pacify the people. And I don't mean pacify as control. The king was doing that themselves, but it would quell uprisings. It would keep people knowing that the king was obviously wrong, and the strength and unity in the knowledge of the wrongness is what led people, I believe, to finally uprise and revolt, especially in peaceful ways, as opposed to in violent ways. Comedy needs to exist, in my opinion, to stimulate conversation. Comedy is not the beacon of fact. Comedy is an outlet for people to start talking about things that matter. So that's what I think about comedy. I'm someone who works in the creative acting improv comedy world. We make a lot of jokes sometimes that when we read our tables could be seen as super inappropriate by someone else. We make mistakes. We're learning. We're adventuring across the line. It's a tough process. It's really hard when you offend someone and you need to get reeled in. But because people like my friends have taught me that you can do it from a pure heart and you just have to be willing to learn and listen and also push those who are maybe a little too close-minded to just open their mind a little bit as well, I stand up against comedy and, I stand up alongside of comedy and against comedy haters. That's from my heart. Let's get into Deadpool. Okay. So spoiler alert, again, if you somehow didn't hear the first one, I'm about to just share some things about Deadpool 2. Not plot, not endings, just things about the writing of the script and some moments that really I just adored. Just a few of them, because I just loved some of the unique choices they made. So one really cool back and forth exchange that I liked was between, and I'm sorry that I'm so hyped and I'm forgetting the names, but it was between the bartender and Deadpool, and Deadpool was talking about self-sacrifice, and then the guy behind the counter said, no, what does that mean? He explained it. He said, no, literally, what does that word sacrifice mean? And Deadpool just looks up at him and says, Jesus Christ. And then it carries on. He says it in a tone like, come on, how do you know? But what a powerful line to write, that the answer of self-sacrifice is Jesus Christ. Now, this is a tough thing to talk about because religion and the negativity surrounding it and the closed-mindedness surrounding religion and people who use a name to justify just unthinkable atrocities, that's not okay. But a definition of what all of the amazing people that I met through all my time in the church, which I just also want to honestly say that right now, I'm not identifying with any particular religion except maybe positivity, which isn't really a religion. It's just, I believe in being positive. I believe you can be the first chain in the positive link in your friend circle. I believe that everyone can just be nice, even to people who might not deserve it. You don't have to keep them around, but I think that the power of the message of those who believe in self-sacrifice and believe in this man who sacrificed himself, that's powerful to them. And I know a lot of good people who don't believe in hate, and I know a lot of misguided people who believe in some narrow-minded thought pathways that have led them to not accept other humans who very well should be accepted. And that saddens me. But I love that back and forth because Deadpool can so easily comment on huge social issues by being tongue in cheek. And I loved that. Another thing I really liked was I kind of laughed with my friend Nicolette after the movie because there was some exposition at the start saying there was going to be a death just like Bambi or the Lion King. Then a scene was set up that very clearly was leading to the death of a character in the scene very early in the movie. But yet somehow my friend was still sideswiped by it and emoted out loud something like, "Oh, come on," when that character died. I thought it was funny because to me it was just it's telling of our society and how many distractions there are and how many inputs there are when you're in a movie theater, when there's people around you, there's stuff happening, there's stuff on the screen, there's music, there's visuals, there's words, there's things hidden in the set and costumes that are analogies or allegories. It's easy to miss stuff, and this is related to everything like Magic the Gathering and qualifying for the Pro Tour and movies and art is, I really believe in stopping to look and stopping to listen and stopping to take in the moment as opposed to just kind of glazed over looking at things. I also am not throwing any shade because my friend Nicolette has been an incredible source of teaching for me. And I remember having great conversations with her about the movie Coco when it came out and the nervousness that she had towards the potential cultural appropriation it might be displaying. And I had seen it and tried to say that I believed it was a respectful representation, but I really was looking forward to her opinion after she saw it, since I had not lived any type of experience that related whatsoever to the Días de los Muertos. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, but the Day of the Dead. It wasn't a tradition or a culture anywhere near where I grew up. It wasn't something I was anywhere familiar with. I loved seeing it on the big screen. I loved being educated by it on the big screen. And even against her own better judgment and worries of what she had heard, she chose to watch the movie and be open-minded because these are the type of friends I have that even when they've heard a lot of negative things about a situation or a person or a video, they're willing to engage with it and make their own mind up and be critical thinkers. And it's taught me a lot about doing the same for myself. I can watch movies that might have some parts that offend or trigger or frustrate other people and try to just take it with a critical mindset. The same can be done with people within Magic the Gathering. If there's content creators who have once or twice done or said or behaved in a way that might not be the way we agree with, or maybe they used a term that bothered us or something like that, we can still learn from them. You know, it's just humanity trying to adapt and humanity trying to grow. And I'm obviously talking about people that are doing this with a good mindset and a good heart. Deadpool brought out a lot of feelings, obviously, for me about acceptance and about tolerance and about unity and about teamwork. And the fact that, you know, it portrayed such a diverse group of characters. I love that Juggernaut is calling Colossus a commie. I just like the struggles it shows of good and evil. I don't like people making rude comments, but I like that this movie was not shying away from talking about it because you might not know this. I only know this because of all my friends growing up playing Magic the Gathering. But in the comics, and in most comics, socially progressive trends have been being written for a long time. Racism, metaphors, and X-Men. One of my friends in the car, Nyla, who was just driving me home, said that there's heavy allegories for homosexual coming out in X-Men. It's not something I had heard about before or had registered, but it makes sense, you know, coming out as a mutant and the fear of not being accepted. There's a lot packed in that I'm learning about and I've learned about through my time playing Magic tournaments in comic book stores, surrounded by people who love comic books, who would just go on stories and would tell me things. My best friend, Andrew Prey, growing up, loved reading comics. I did not read. I was not a reader. But he would tell me stories and things he liked. I asked some of the people at Phoenix Comics to tell me about the Civil War well before it had even been slated to be a movie. And I've had a few synopsises of things that happened back before this new era of Marvel Studios and Fox Studios putting out good products, as opposed to some of the previous Fox Studio X-Men movies. And they've done some good stuff, but they've made a lot of stinkers that weren't well written, that I only loved because they contained my favorite characters. But times have changed, and superhero movies are getting really, really, really good. They're so well written. They're so funny. They have so many great social commentaries. The comment about Brown Panther made me die. Like, oh, I love laughter. I love comedy, and I love tolerance. And Deadpool 2 brought a lot of joy for me, and I would love to hear what it brought out for you. And I would also love to know if I'm wrong, because the more I hear and the more I accept that people around me are telling me, the more I'm growing and shaping into the man I am today. So that's kind of my podcast for today. I feel like these type of art and comedy and thought-provoking friendship enrichment times are crucial for me. I'm just a type of person who loves laughing and loves writing and loves acting and loves my friends and loves Magic the Gathering. And I hope that people out there that hear this feel similarly about one or two of those things, and whatever other things they're passionate about, go spend some time. If you're trying to qualify for the Pro Tour, go spend some time one day a week, one day every 2 weeks, maybe just once a month. Do a day where you just do all the things you like. Just have a you day. Enjoy either your solitude, if that's your jam. Enjoy your friends, if you like that. Enjoy a movie or some theater. Enjoy a book. Go for a walk. Breathe the air. Or do a 24-hour stream. Whatever it is that makes you tick, spend some time for yourself. Now, you know, I have some more work to do, and I'm probably going to stitch a third part to this cast today, because I am a night person, usually works nights. And since it's my weekend, I wanted to spend some downtime, but I also wanted to get quite a bit of work done for my channel. And I have a big State of the Union that I plan on announcing tomorrow. And I also have to do some curation for a podcast that I'm working on that I referenced earlier. So I'm going to get to work and check back in a bit. But those are my thoughts on Deadpool 2. And that's a wrap on the night. I had to do some curating for the podcast that I will be co-hosting. Maybe not co-hosting, maybe just appearing on. Still working on the details, but I had to curate some player profiles and some data on Pro Tour finishes and GP finishes. And instead of just curating the data and posting it as I was tasked to do, I decided to just find the right resources and the right links that now can be clicked on from the Google Drive at any time to solve this problem later. And that is one learning that I guess I'll quickly talk about that you might do or you might not do. But I think that you can save yourself a lot of work by just creating some organized folders for your MTG content. I have a Google Drive where I organize spreadsheets. I folder up resources in a list. I have bookmarks on my Google Chrome tabs with all sorts of things I might need. One of them is called WPMTG Editing. One of them is called Dirtling, and it's just all my social media. One of them is MTG Resources. I do it for any game I'm playing so that I don't have to remember all the cool spreadsheets and
sites like the Elo Project and stats pages, I will forget a lot of them, and I will usually put out a Twitter call or a Facebook message and then bookmark it. It's a habit that I have gotten into over the past few years, and when I did some professional development in Young Life in the nonprofit organization I was working for, I learned about all my strengths and weaknesses as a staff member, and organization was one of my weaknesses, so I really worked hard at it. Now I try to incorporate notes into everything, even though I have a good memory. I like to make notes of karaoke songs I might want to sing in the contact field in my phone when I'm thinking about other people that I've just met. Maybe like at a Magic tournament, I've gotten their phone number, their Twitter. I'll make a quick contact and write a note who they are, what we talked about, maybe a note about my thoughts about them. Stuff for just me to look at, but it really helps later when I bump back into someone I haven't talked to in a while to just have access to the important information, like maybe their children's name, things that I want to remember, but I might not be able to remember in the heat of competition, or let's say it's business associates that I might not have a professional relationship with yet, but I might desire one day to work with. It's good to make active efforts to remember. And I've found that even just typing these notes and choosing to store certain pieces of information that you've been shared with, like websites, like meme sites, like Reddit subreddit pages, like children's names. The more you store, the more you remember. That might not be for everyone. That is for me. It's kind of like one of the way I build mnemonics in university to remember. I do something similar when I just write things down about people. So that's my thoughts for today. I decided to build resource lists as opposed to just gathering the data I was tasked to. And some things even happened, like I wasn't quite sure how to search in Google Chrome on my phone, but you can just quickly Google that to learn when you're on the WotC page for top 8 results and you're just on a phone. There's ways to find in page and search by name. One little funny thing that happened is I searched Doug Potter just to kind of check if it worked. And one of the two GPs that the website says I have is GP Stockholm 2016, probably a GP that ran in tandem with my Toronto 2016 top 8. And the lesson there is cross-reference all your information. When you get information from one site, don't take it as fact. Take that information, then go do a Google search, go look up those tournaments, make sure the information's right. Look for potential mistakes like the Stockholm. It was probably a GP near Stockholm, so maybe go browse a couple GPs that happened in 2016 around that time. You might find Doug Potter without having to be told where it was. You might be equipped with all the tools to find it, and that's transferable more than just for content creation for a podcast. That's transferable to all of your learnings on your attempt to qualify for the Pro Tour. So those are my thoughts for today. It's been a great day. I was tired after the movie, but had to get some work done. But now it's getting late and I am ready for bed. So I'm gonna send this episode up and I'm really excited tomorrow to jam some standard and to play a lot of limited and to practice for some upcoming PTQs. So, awesome day in the grind. I actually got to play quite a bit of Magic today, but there was nothing noteworthy to talk about. But it was really fun to play and to bring. I brought my Brawl deck over to a friend's house and talked with him about the competitive scene in the past and our experiences as teenagers playing against adults. I did it as a JSS grinder who, on my 15th birthday, had to play a different tournament than I was expected to. I jumped into basically a cash tournament instead of the JSS I went to with all the best Albertan players and top 8 in it. My friend Jeremy had some different but similar experiences as far as being a younger player attacking metagames and thought processes differently with a crew of like-minded people. So great day for Magic, great day for me and mindset. Awesome day in personal life with the movie, and I'm really excited for more grinding tomorrow. So thanks for listening, and until next time, Doug P. out.